you are doing in your family, in your church, in these days. And I thank you that your heart is for none to be on the bleacher watching, but for all of us to be on the field in these days. I thank you that you have given us a heart in this body to move away from immaturity and milk and to move into the deeper things of food. The food, the meat food. The food for the mature. And so today I ask you to release a grace over this body to receive what it is that you are wanting to sow. I ask that you would touch every mind and every heart, that there would be revelation, insight, and understanding. For some, it's going to be a reminder. For some, it's going to be brand new. And I thank you again, Father, that you will be speaking throughout the entire time, saying things to your children that I am not going to say out of my mouth. Open our ears to hear it. I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession? My mind, my mouth, every part of me, I invite you to flow through me today. I take authority over every demonic entity that would seek to come and steal the seed that's going to be sown. And I command you, demonic birds, I command you to be outside the walls of this building. You release every person and be out in Jesus' name. And I declare the soil of every heart is fertile to receive it, for it to bear deep root, and to have much fruit. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody believing said, amen.
I need to just share with you, this morning is going to be different. I'm going to give you four little mini sermons, okay? And each one's going to be about 5 minutes long. The third one's going to be 7 minutes long. But if you have a piece of paper, I just need you to write some things down. Two of them come out of our trip to Winnipeg. A couple other ones God has just laid upon my heart. We're going to do something at the end. But I just need to give you just little mini minuets just to cover. I don't want to take a whole sermon to do all of these. As I prayed about, the Lord said, no, today's a great Sunday, just boom, boom, I want you to do this. So if you would write down the first thing, Jeff is going to shoot it up on the screen. Would you just write down communion at home? Communion at home. I need to tell you, on Sunday morning we went to a church, one of the churches in Saskatoon that sponsored it, a large church. We went there, and one of the things just grieved my spirit is when they were having communion on that morning, the individual who was presenting communion, they had all the communion elements at the front, and they were explaining communion. Then they made a statement, and they said, nothing happens. You just need to know that when we receive communion, nothing happens. This is just a remembrance. You need to remember. But they went like this. They went like this and go, you need to know when you receive, nothing happens. I almost stood up. Okay? If I hadn't spoken last October, if I wasn't representing the why, if the why people weren't there, I would have stood up, because standing up would have embarrassed them. I mean, that this is their church. They had the most support from this church. Literally, I wanted to stand up and go, what in heaven are you talking about? For you to say that communion, nothing happens in communion, is absolute deception, because communion is one of those things. It is a powerful spiritual weapon that when we receive communion, things happen, things change in the spiritual realm. It's not just eating bread and drinking juice. Something spiritual happens. I wanted to go shake that pastor afterward and say, who taught you? I know who taught them, because that's taught in all kinds of evangelical church, that when you do this, you just go through the motion, but nothing goes on. I want to tell you this morning, there is a reason, and even the mainline churches teach that communion is one of the two graces that God still reaches into the world and touches people through. It's a physical act with a spiritual impact to it. Those of you who are Catholic, we're Catholic, you come out of a background where when the priest blessed the elements, you believed that in that moment, transubstantiation happens. That's the theological term. That in that moment, the bread turns to the body of Jesus, the wine turns to the blood, and now you're dealing with the real body and blood, and you're re-sacrificing Jesus every time you have communion. That's the Catholic background. That's one side of the pendulum. On the other side, the pendulum swings over here that goes, when you're receiving it, there's nothing spiritual to it. It's just a remembrance, just an act. You go through it. It's a physical act to remember. In the middle is where Scripture teaches it's not trans, where it turns into the body, and it's not over here where nothing happens. It's called consubstantiation. We believe that when you bless the elements, when they are blessed It remains the juice. It remains the bread. So if you drop it on the floor, you're not going, oh my goodness, I spilled the blood of Jesus on the floor. No, that's not what we do. But we believe that when you receive it by faith, when you take it inside of you, by faith, you are receiving the body and blood of Christ. It is a spiritual act through a physical element. Can I tell you, when we're involved in deliverance ministry, we will often have communion, because when a person receives the body and blood of Christ, there is a spiritual part to that that has the ability to break strongholds, to remove demons in people's lives. It is a spiritual weapon that we use. When we go into people's houses to cleanse them, we take, and after we pray through it, we have communion, because it is a covenantal element that you take it and you break things as a result of communion. Can I tell you, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says this: they overcame him how? The word of the testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Part of the enemy has seduced the church today by going, we'll dumb it down and go, the body and blood does nothing. I just want to tell you, we've had people in the church, when we've set this up over here, we had a man who came in a number of years ago. They moved. He came in. He had been demonized, wrestling with stuff his entire life. He was in his 70s. He came up one Sunday, had communion. As he received communion, as he was receiving it, the Holy Spirit came on him, and he was delivered, and the voices shut down. All of the stuff he was tormented with removed. He goes, it happened while I was receiving the body and blood. You try and convince him that when you receive communion, that nothing happens. I got righteously angry. But I want to tell you this. I believe we need to make a shift. And I want to encourage you, some of you are going to get this today, I believe we need to make a shift where instead of having communion once a month at the end of the month or once a week when you go up to the front, I believe you need to begin opening the door and going, you know what, we need to begin having communion in our home, sometimes maybe every day. You don't need the pastor. You are the priest of your home. You have the ability anywhere to take bread, to take the juice, to pray over it, to bless it, and have the Holy Spirit do through you in your home, in your business, in your workplace, doesn't matter where you are, to take that as a weapon and have communion in that place in order to allow the Holy Spirit to do things. Can I just say, some of you struggling in your marriages, I want to challenge you, have communion every day together as husband and wife and just watch what happens. It's one of those weapons that we leave hanging on the wall and we just pull down once a month in the church setting and go, okay, we're going to use that. I'll tell you, take it off the wall and begin to go, I'm going to start using this regularly in my home, in my business, in my marriage, for my children. If he overcame by the power of the testimony and the blood of the Lamb, let's use it. Let me say too, when you're visiting people who are sick in the hospital, take communion with you. Have communion with them. This is not about just, oh, we're going to have communion before you die so that you're saved and going to heaven. That's a pile of crap. You have communion because things change and break in the spiritual realm. So I just want you to write that down. Communion at home. The Holy Spirit will bring it back. You're going to be in your home and all of a sudden it's going to be, oh man, the words are going to come back. We need to have communion. We're struggling. We're under attack. We need to have communion. We need to have communion. And allow the Holy Spirit to use that in order to bring a breaking. Can you write down the second one? Just write down really quickly, clean out the room. Clean the room. I was reminded of again when we went to Winnipeg, and some of you know this, every time you go into a hotel room. We did this in Reading. Doesn't matter where you go. Every time you go into a room that's not your territory, you walk in, you take spiritual authority, and you say, in the name of Jesus, I command every demonic entity that has had access to this room, I command you out now in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, I invite you to be Lord over this. The moment I rent a room, I have legal right in that room. I have no idea if adultery took place the night before. I have no idea if somebody watched pornography the night before. I have no idea if someone was shooting up the night before. I have no idea what happened in that room. But I'll tell you, when you're dealing with public settings and spirits are coming in and out, they are territorial. When they're coming in and out, you step in and you clean it. Many of you, when you purchased your home, you phoned and you said, Colin, Pastor Colin, Jane, would you come to our house and can we go through and can we pray for that and we clean it out? We walk through it, we clean it out. At the end of it, we do communion. Spirits are territorial. Understand, spirits are territorial. That's why part of what we pray every Sunday morning is, Holy Spirit, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the door so that when people walk into this building, every demonic entity is that's attached to them has to come under the blood. It's checked at the door. They come in. There's freedom in here that when they step out again, if they haven't filled it up, it'll attach again at the door. But in this environment, it cannot. I'll never forget years ago with YWAM. Heard the testimony. Zach went. A number went in here. Chad and Dana went. No, you guys didn't do YWAM. Yeah, you did YWAM. Yeah. I'll never forget. When they went out one morning, the team went out. They were standing on a street. They were going to witness. All morning long, people came. They wanted to start conversation. People turned them off. They went. Nothing happened that morning. They go back at noon, and they're praying, God, what's going on? God, how come things aren't happening? The Holy Spirit said, go to the other side of the street. They went out in the afternoon. They went to the other side of the street. People were coming, stopping. They were talking. People were prayed for. People were delivered all afternoon. Deliverance was taking. They went back. They talked to the leader, said, what's going on? They went back to that place, and they found that on the one side of the street, there were spiritual, territorial entities that had legal right on this street that on the other side didn't have. There was openness on this side, but not on this side. The immature, the unbeliever will have no idea of this. Guys, we're moving to maturity. When I go speak, it doesn't matter where in the world. When I go speak, if I have an invitation, whether it's a church in town here that we use for a wedding or a funeral, or whether I'm across, it doesn't matter where I go. If I have an invitation, I walk in. The first thing I do is I take authority over the spiritual entities in that place. And can I tell you really clearly? Even in churches. Every church that I have spoken in Camrose, for weddings, funerals, for messages, every church I walk in, and I'm taking authority over the demonic spiritual entities that have access to churches. But if I'm invited, I have legal right. And I can exercise my authority, clean it out so that people can hear what's coming as compared to having all of the demonic entities stealing. And I remember when Keith Moore made a statement, he says, have you ever been speaking in a church where when you spoke, it just like hit a wall and it just kept coming back to you, didn't break through? I've been there. But when God awakens you to the fact that you have authority over territorial, you do it. Can I say some of you need to pray through your homes again? You've never done it. Some of you need to pray through your work environments and take authority. When you're working for someone else, you don't have authority over all of the demonic in those places because the owners have that authority. But if you have an office, you have authority. If you have a workspace, you have authority. I don't know if you've ever done it. Jane and I have been gone sometimes. We get into the hotel room. We're tired. We go to bed. Forget to pray. I don't know if you've ever forgotten. Anybody else forgotten? I'm not even looking. If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Fell asleep, 11:30, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. Holy Spirit wakes me up and go, call. You forgot to clean the room. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I get up. I clean the room. Can I tell you? When the room is clean, I don't have nightmares. When the room is clean, I don't have demonic, perverted crap trying to get into my head. When the room is clean, Jane and I don't fight. Some of you in your marriages where you experience division, I'll tell you, you got to clean it. Can I just take a little step farther? When you buy a car, clean that car. When you buy a piece of furniture, clean that furniture. Those who are spiritually discerning know that there is spiritual stuff attached to it. We're going to talk about that in a second. There's spiritual stuff attached. You need to take authority and you need to clean it. Transfer kingdoms. Transfer kingdoms. Some of us struggle and we don't even understand why we're struggling. It's because we have allowed that into our life. Can I tell you, the spiritually ignorant will be under that kind of attack and oppression their entire life until they take authority. Clean the room. Would you write down number three? Would you write down grace over food? Grace over food. I want to spend 7 minutes on this one. A number of years ago, how many of you know the name Randy Stonehill? How many of you know the name? You got to be old to know him. How many of you know Larry Norman? You got to be old to know him. How many of you know Elvis Presley? Okay, I just wanted you to participate. Jane and I went to see Larry Norman one time at Edmonton. He was a guy who came out of the Jesus movement, the Jesus culture, got saved. Larry Norman became a
He was a musician. He made a statement. He said, God is alive and well in the food industry. God's alive and well in the food industry. I want you to understand, there came a time in Canada, but around the world, there came a time when the food industry changed from producing good food to keep people healthy. It was a change where it was no longer about healthy food. It now became about money. It became about a market. It became about a business. The food industry is an area where the enemy is stealing, killing, and destroying more lives. When Roy Romano, after he left as an MP in Canada, was commissioned to do a health study of the healthcare system, he came back after 2 years. He said 85% of what the medical system in Canada treats is self-induced as a result of what we eat. 85%. There is an absolute demonic deception that lies over Canadians because we go, I can kill myself with food, and when it comes to the treatment, it's free. So, awesome. I can be stupid and someone else will pay for it. We live in an industry where our food is laced. The vast majority of our food is designed to make you and I sick, not to make us healthy, to make us sick. And because of the fact that the moment I take in something that's not good for me, I'm not puking, I'm not vomiting, I'm not sick all the time, because it doesn't affect me immediately, I go, well, I can do that and it doesn't hurt me. Until 30 years later, they're cutting my leg off with diabetes because I poisoned myself for 30 years. The spiritually ignorant will eat whatever they think they want to eat, regardless, going, it's not affecting me. I'm not going to get cancer. I can shove sugar down my throat and it's not going to affect my life. Can I tell you, the design of the enemy in every one of us as believers is to die long before we are supposed to die. And the food industry is part of how the enemy is using that. I want to tell you really quickly, and I will never forget Kenneth Copeland at one of the Believers Conferences. He made a statement. He said, there has never been a day where we need to take praying over our food grace more seriously than the day we live in today. When I grew up, we had a standard prayer that we prayed at mealtime. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this food which we're about to receive. Some of us had the other one, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Some of us had rub-a-dub-dub, God bless this grub. Piles of us were raised with a grace. We spoke over the food. We really didn't speak over the food. What we did is we go, God, would you bless this food? And God looks at us and goes, that's not my job. We go, God, would you bless this food? He goes, that's not my job. My job is not to bless the food. It is your job to bless the food. It is your job to exercise authority. It is your job to speak to your food. I catch myself at times too when I'm praying over the meal going, oh God, thank you for this food. I just ask that you'd bless it to my body's use and nourish it to my... How many? Okay, don't even raise your hand because we all pray that way. I'm asking God, and if I open my ears, God looks back at me and goes, call, that's not my job. I am not called to bless your food. You're called to bless your food. I want to give you a very quick picture. We understand the curse better. I want to use the word as a curse, as an umbrella. It's the umbrella. When Jesus went to the fig tree, he did not go, curse. The Bible says he cursed the tree, but he didn't go, curse. What he did is he looked at it and said, you will never bear fruit again. The title was curse, but he said, you'll never bear fruit again. He spoke to the tree. Sounds really weird. This is unit 3 stuff if you don't understand spiritual, right? The curse is, you'll never bear fruit again. Can I tell you, it's exactly the same with the blessing. The blessing is the umbrella. It's what you do underneath. You don't go, food, I bless you. Do you believe that when we speak to the food, do you believe when we speak to anything that it hears us and things change? Can I tell you today, as believers, more than ever, we need to use the wisdom and go, I'm not going to be stupid and I'm not going to drink pop and juice that is laced with 16 teaspoons of sugar. I'm not going to do things that are going to kill my body and kill my mind and give me Alzheimer's by the time I'm 45 years of age. I'm not going to self-induce myself and just go, I'm going to be stupid and expect God to heal me. Okay, we're not that way. We're talking about people who are wise. But even in our wisdom, can I tell you, when we are eating vegetables, when we are eating
crops when we're eating bread. Can I just tell you today, one of the things I'm praying for, every crop that's out there right now has been sprayed 2 times by chemical. When we're receiving that stuff, the pesticide, the chemical, the Roundup, that they lie to us and say doesn't affect you, you can drink it, has been banned all around the world except North America. It is still giving cancer. It is still killing people. And unless we can buy organic, unless we can buy clean, unless we can raise it ourselves, when it's coming across our plate, we have the authority to look at it and not go, oh God, would you bless this food? Use it to stay. No, we have the authority to look at the food and go, food, in the name of Jesus. I command everything in this food that is harmful to my body right now. I rebuke you. I command you to leave. You will not affect me. And food, I speak to you, and I declare that everything good in you will be absorbed into this body. You will be used to help me live 120 years of my life. You will be used to keep me healthy. You will be used to cause my youth to be renewed. Let me say really clearly, you want to be stupid? You can be. Even as a believer, we can be stupid. I can choose stupid. But I want to tell you, as mature believers, we are in a day where we have to have wisdom, we have to have discernment, we have to have insight, we need to know our authority. It's not a matter of sitting down and praying a rote prayer, asking God to do what He's told us to do. It is a matter of taking authority over that which is actively seeking to kill me and shorten my life. Speaking to it, when I bless it, I'm not going, oh, bless you. I'm saying, do you understand that? If we could understand that the world system in our food industry is out to steal, kill, and destroy in our life, we would deal with it differently. I want to tell you one crazy thing that shook my spirit. Jane and I had an opportunity to have a meal with Craig and Jan Hill a number of years ago in Grand Prairie. We went up to one of their conferences. We sat down, we had lunch together. Some of you know Craig Hill as the founder of Ancient Paths. As we sat down to the meal, all of a sudden Craig pulls out of his pocket, there was a bottle. He opens it up, he puts out 3 pills, he pops his pills and puts it inside. And I'm the kind of guy just to sit there and say nothing, right? Get to know me. I look at him and I go, Craig, what are you doing? What are you sucking back? He says, these are digestive enzymes. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, the Lord began speaking to me a number of years ago and began looking at the food industry, and I began realizing that all the vegetables we buy in the store, all of those vegetables are picked in other parts of the world. They're picked before they're ripe, then they're sprayed so they can transport them without ripening or rotting. When they get there, they spray them again so that they'll ripen, so that when they get to the shelf, they look perfect for you to buy. But he said, what I discovered is that all of the digestive enzymes that go into every vegetable, they go in the last 2 days before they ripen on the vine. And he says, the vast majority of our vegetables in the store now have no digestive enzymes. People are eating them, thinking they're eating healthy, but they can't absorb it because there's no enzymes in it. He said, so when God began speaking to me, he goes, I began taking digestive enzymes that come into my body that will help me process the food that I'm eating because nothing is in it in order to get it out. I went, holy smoke. Can you imagine believing that you're eating healthy vegetables coming from the store? You choose and you pick whatever you got. We're eating healthy. Man, we're not eating junk. We're eating healthy. And the truth is, it's going in you and it's going out of you. And all the good just left you because nothing is in you in order to absorb it. I sat back and I went, we're being deceived. The enemy's just smiling while we're thinking we're doing good. I mean, when we eat stupid, we should get sick. We should get cancer. I mean, that's just the consequence. When we're trying to do it right, and yet we're deceived into going, holy smoke, there's nothing in there. That was a revelation for me. There's a reason why we have 2 big gardens. There's a reason. There's a reason why we raise our own beef that has never seen a chemical, never seen an injection, has never seen a growth hormone, has never seen what is in the vast majority of our meats today. But I want to tell you this, in Mark chapter 16, it says, these are the signs that will accompany those who believe. You can drink any deadly poisonous thing and it will not harm you. Can I tell you how the enemy has taken that? There's a pile of people who go, I can eat any deadly poisonous thing and it will not harm me. That's not what it says. It says you can drink any deadly poisonous thing and will not harm you. You can drink that. I've talked to people, testimonies. I've been overseas, water that's been polluted. People get all this disease and stuff from it. They bless it. They speak to this water. They drink it, and they don't get sick. This is not a verse that says, as a believer, I can eat crap and expect to be healthy. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, when I do my part of eating healthy and whole, whatever comes across my plate, I'm still going to take authority over it. I'm going to use the word blessed, but I'm going to look at that food. I'm going to speak to that food. I'm going to speak to what is unhealthy in that food and take authority over it and command that food to be good for me. If that's too much work for you, you can always go back, rub-a-dub-dub. God bless this grub. But if we are awakened to the design of the enemy to shorten your and my life, for you and I to die of sickness and disease, which we were never meant to die from, ever meant to die from, not only do we do our part when it comes to choosing, we do our part when it comes to authority. Just for a moment, men in this place and men who are listening to me, men, I place a charge on you as spiritual head of your home, who the vast majority of the time call your family together, your spouse together for prayer over this food. Men, I charge you today to rise up with the authority that you have, with a wisdom and a discernment, to speak to the food that is seeking to kill you, your wife, your children. You speak to it, you take authority over it, and you bless it, not with the word. You bless it by speaking in the name of Jesus. Last one. Would you write down prayer clause? For those of us who've read the word, we are very aware that when the Apostle Paul was alive on the earth and he was ministering, that there were people who came to him and they brought cloths, they brought handkerchiefs, they had napkins, they came and they just touched him. They touched him because when they touched him, the anointing came off Paul, went onto the cloth, they took the cloth home, laid it on the sick, laid it on the demonized, the anointing through the cloth healed the person, delivered the person, and they were free. Most of us don't understand the transfer of anointing. Can I just say something to you really clearly? How many of you in the grocery store have seen halal meat? Halal? What is halal meat? What is it? What is it? It's Muslim meat, but what is it? What is it? A little more than that. Halal meat is meat that is actually, it is butchered in order for the Muslim to purchase. The animal is killed facing Mecca. And as the animal is being killed, they are speaking words, Muslim words, blessing over that meat in order for it to be approved by the Muslim people. They are speaking, from our side, they're speaking curses over that meat. And as a result of that, they make it halal. When the Muslim goes into the store, they go, this has been killed facing Mecca, and it's been spoken over in the Muslim faith. Is it possible for meat to carry spirit? You bet it is. The Bible says, if you know that something has been sacrificed to an idol, don't eat it, because when you eat it, you're becoming one spirit with it. Can spirit transfer? Let me tell you what you already know. We had to become awakened to this in the early 1900s when people were coming back from China, coming back from Africa. They were bringing all of these nice, cute little idols, putting them in their home, and all of a sudden all hell was breaking loose, and they began finding out, attached to these idols, attached to these little ornaments, attached to whatever, are spirits that are beginning to have access in your home and they affect. Let me offend. Can I offend somebody right now? I find it quite easy to do that, by the way. Do you know what a dream catcher is? You know, we look at this stuff like it is, oh, wonderful native, you know, native art and native. Can I tell you, when it comes to native spirituality, they say that is one of the most difficult to deliver people from, that native spirituality. Part of what the natives do is they speak stuff over their elements, speak it over the dream catcher, speak it over the, and it attaches the native spiritual stuff to it, and people buy it in Banff, and they buy it all over, hang it in their home, hang it in their car, and then wonder why all hell is beginning to break loose. Wonder why their kids are walking in rebellion? Wonder why they're fighting? Wonder why they ended up with this sickness? Wonder, can I tell you, spiritual stuff attaches. All that is a counterfeit, because the truth is, the Spirit of God has the ability to transfer. I want to tell you, we've discovered this, and it's something that has not been used by much of the church over the years. About 11 years ago, A little more. It's about 15 years ago now, when Emily Ness's grandson drowned in Calgary. We went down. He was totally mentally, totally brain dead. We went down. We prayed. We began believing that he would be raised back up to life. His brain would be restored. One of the things we did when we were down there with his parents, his mom believed, his dad didn't, is we took a cloth, Jane and I and the mom, we prayed, we anointed over the cloth, and we said, just stick it underneath his head. Just stick it under his head. Let the anointing continue 24 hours a day. Let the anointing just continue to work. Within 2.5 weeks, that little boy had received full brain activity. I had prophesied on that Sunday that he will run across the stage and his parents will give testimony before they go back to Florida. That's exactly what happened. 3 weeks later, he was running across the stage as a 2-year-old. His parents were giving testimony. Miracle Channel went to Calgary and did the miracle thing because it was like holy smoke. They understood spiritual transfer in the New Testament in a way that has been lost. They understood when someone has the anointing, you go, you take something, you put it on them, the anointing will transfer. I'm going to take this and I'm going to stick it on someone who's a non-believer. Some of you need to stick this under the pillows of your kids who are rebellious, some of them who don't know the Lord. You need to stick it under there and let them sleep on it. There's going to be a pile of people who look at you and go, oh, that hocus pocus. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, that's so stupid. Yeah, when you're veiled and you don't understand spiritual things, it is. Be it unto you according to what you believe. But for you and I who are mature, who understand the things of the Spirit, who know how things work, I'll tell you, in our healing room, we have been using anointing cloths and we're going to begin using them a lot more. Last week in the healing room, we began. We opened up. I got to tell you, I'm probably more excited about the healing room this year than any other year that we've entered in, just because of where God has taken us, because of the quality of people who are in those rooms, because of what happens physically with people, what happens over the phones when they pray, what is going to begin happening in the leaders' lives all across this nation and province when they get a letter from Solid Rock saying, we have a team who is praying for the healing of the nation, and your name came up, and here's the words the Lord gave you. Last Tuesday, one of our team members cut up a bunch of cloths, gave them in and said, could we have a time of anointing these cloths, praying over them and anointing them so that in the healing room we can have them, so that when people leave and they're standing in proxy for someone else, when they got an issue in their life, we can give them a cloth that has been anointed, they can take it with them and just put it over there. Can I tell you, the moment someone says, can I have one of those cloths, they're acting in faith. They're acting in faith. They are believing that this cloth carries something after being prayed for and anointed that it didn't carry before. Let me just say this straight up. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to be a part of this. If you don't believe that, just stay in your seat, okay? All I'm saying is, if you're not there yet, I don't want you to fake and pretend you're there. I don't want you to be where you're not. We've all had to grow into this. We weren't born this way. We had to come to revelation knowledge. But in a moment, I'm going to ask all of those who are part of the healing room to come. I'm going to ask you to get a cloth. I'm going to ask you to distribute yourself around. And I want about 2 people around every healing room person in a moment. Don't go yet. In a moment, and I'm going to give you all an anointing, bottle of anointing oil. I'm going to have you anoint that cloth, and I'm going to have you pray over that cloth, so that cloth is going to be collected, go into the healing room, and it is going to go out and begin to touch lives. It's going to heal cancer. It's going to deliver. It's going to do things inside of people because the anointing transfers. Some of us have never done this before. This might be weird. This might be freaky. This might be uncomfortable. I don't care. If you want to grow, just stand on the word. Just stand on the word. Step out of the boat and go, if the word says it, okay, it's not about my comfort, it's about my obedience. So you need to know, Tuesday evenings when we pray, you need to know that in that room, it is equipped with healing cloths that we are prepared to send with people in order to go and take the anointing from the healing room and let it have an effect. But I believe we as a church need to be a part of that. Healing room people, all of you in the ministry, I want you to come to the front. I want you to get a healing. I want you to get a cloth. Healing room people, just come get a cloth. Wow, half our team is gone today. I'm going to do a bunch of home visits. I'll give each of you 2 so you can do 2. Healing, when you get your 2, can you come and grab a bottle of anointing oil? And then I'd like you to go, 3 of you on that side, 4 of you on that side, 4 here, and 4 down over the other aisle. Myrna, you've only got 1. That's okay. Come get your bottle of oil and then go find a spot in the middle of the middle of the aisles. Patricia, can I have you flip over to the other side over there? Yeah, Jude, that's good in the front. Jude, can I have you come stand right here? Right in the middle. All right. For those of you who believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you believe that it's true. For those of you who believe and understand in the spiritual realm that the Spirit of God can transfer, I would like you to get up from where you are. I'd like you to find one of the healing room people. Just go and surround them. In a moment, I'll give you instruction. Those of you who believe, just stand up and would you go and find people? If you're not there, just stay in your seat. This is not a criticism. This is not negative. It's not judgment. I just want you to remain in your seat. The anointing cloth ministry is a powerful ministry, the ability to change lives. I don't want anything wrongly mixed with it. Those of you, I want you to surround the person with the cloth. I want you just to surround them. I'd like it to be totally, totally surrounded. Healing room person, I would like you to just find one person in your group, just give them the bottle, and then just have them anoint the cloth with the oil in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just anoint it in a few different spots. Just dab it in a few different spots. Just choose anybody at random. Dana, are you here? Dana, is she not here? Zach? Could I have you just go play quietly on the pad? After you have anointed the cloth, I would like all of you to reach your hand in. Healing room person, hold it up on both palms, one on each palm for those of you who have two. Hold it up in the palm. I'd like everybody to reach in and have a hand on the cloth. Don't put a hand on each other. Put a hand on the cloth. I want everybody's hand on the cloth. The transfer happens from those who carry the Spirit of God. They carry it, and when you touch it, it transfers. When your hand is on the cloth, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to just fill you with words so that you can pray. Not just pray to the Father, but I want you to speak to the cloth. I want you to speak words to the cloth. I want you to use your authority to speak healing as the Holy Spirit leads you. You speak to it. And then after they're all done, healing room person, I want you to be the one to pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit on those cloths. I want you to be the one to seal it. You know how to pray level 2 prayers. That's why you're in the healing room. I want you to be the last one to pray and seal what has been spoken over it. Teams, you can begin now. Begin praying over it. Begin speaking over it. I'd like everybody standing around to have an opportunity to pray. Every person standing there, you went and you stood there in faith. I want every person to have an opportunity to speak into that cloth, to pray over that cloth. Every person standing. After they have all prayed and spoken, healing room person, healing room, I want you to be the last one to pray. I want you to speak anointing over that cloth. I want you to seal what has been done. Healing room person, when you're done, I want you to stay where you are. Hold the cloth. Just stay where you are for a moment. Okay, healing room person, would you wrap it up? Would you wrap it up? Everybody standing around can find their seat. Healing room person, remain where you are. Let me tell you why we've done this. Because we believe that every one of these cloths represents somebody who is going to come in faith, receive one, take it back, and somebody's life is going to be touched, healed, delivered as a result of what is on this cloth. I would like all of you to stand with me. I would like you to extend your hands in the direction of those holding the cloths. And for 1 minute, I want us to begin to pray over the person that these cloths are intended to go to. There needs to be divine connection. Just extend your hand in that direction. You begin praying over those people who are going to get these cloths, that they will be led by the Spirit of God. They will come in faith. When those cloths are under their pillow, it's laid on them in the cancer clinic, that they will be open and receptive. The transfer of the Spirit will be unhindered, and they will experience a mighty miracle under the anointing of the anointed cloth. Let's pray for those people right now. Just pray for them. For For those of you who pray in the Spirit, just break out now in the Spirit for a moment. Holy Spirit is wanting to pray something anointing over these people. Just for a moment, just in the Spirit, just begin praying in the Spirit. Father, I thank you that your word is as alive today as the moment that it was breathed from you. I thank you for the anointing of your Spirit, that it is a spirit of life, a spirit of healing, a spirit of deliverance. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have the ability to be carried. And today we release an anointing over every person who will be the recipient of these claws, that they will receive with unhindered openness the anointing, the healing, the deliverance that is coming through the anointing prayed on these claws today. I release blessing over every person who has been a part of this healing anointing. I ask, Father, that you would take our faith and you begin to move it to a different level. I thank you that you are empowering us to begin to walk and speak and live with authority that will make a difference in this world. That we don't just sing it, but darkness flees when we enter the room. And by faith, we say thank you for the good reports coming off of every one of these claws, the good reports. And when they come, we will give you all the praise, all the glory. Because we believe this, and we ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen, amen. Healing Room people, can you come and place your cloths on the altar? How many of you have never been a part of that? This is the first time you've ever been a part of this. Just raise your hand high, would you? Praise the Lord. Your life is changing today. Would you bow with me for a moment? Father, I am so thankful that you are not content to leave us in diapers, but you are wanting us to grow to maturity. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are powerfully working all of our lives, pulling back the veils, allowing us to see and understand with clarity and to be transformed by the truth of your word. Thank you for what took place this morning in this place, in worship, in prayer, in teaching, in ministry. Father, as we walk out of this place, we invite you to use us in any way that you want. To touch a dying world. We make ourselves available. Open our eyes that we don't miss the opportunities. Empower us to walk in a fear of the Lord greater than the fear of man. And remind us in those moments that it won't be us speaking, but it will be you speaking through us. And we declare that signs and wonders will surround us who believe as an evidence that you are with us and in us. Seal what you have done here today, and may we never be the same. I declare over you what you already know, that the Lord has blessed you and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and he has shoved you full of his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody believing and receiving said, amen. Have an awesome week. Thank you for committing yourself during this time this morning. See some of you tomorrow, some of you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't want to see anybody Friday. Maybe Saturday, for sure next Sunday. Thank you, Zach. Duncan, music, please.